The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
I want to talk about the state of rental accommodation in this country because Brianna Parkins, the reporter with Ireland AM, posted a picture online today of an apartment, a flat available for rent. Brianna joins me now on the line. Brianna, can you describe what you posted?
Yeah, I actually think it's a house, and there were two rooms going in this house. It's a house that's been sort of converted in, and there's been sort of things boarded up and made into bedrooms that shouldn't be bedrooms. And this particular stunning piece of real estate today had a shower in a fully carpeted bedroom right next to, I think it's a gas heater. And then if you stretch your arm out from the bed, you can also touch the gas heater. So
you've got a carpeted room with a bed in one corner. You can stretch out and touch a gas heater, and you can also stretch out on the other side from the gas heater and touch a shower that's in the other corner
of
your bedroom.
You'd be in the shower.
You'd be in it.
Yes. So I'm not sure. Basically, the room is like one big bath mat with this old carpet. I'm not sure why there's a shower. It looks like to be an old converted lounge room. Maybe they had to have an additional bathroom for the amount of people that's living in the house. The other bedroom, I think, was a twin bedroom that was shared between two people. So it just seems to be one of these houses that we see around Dublin fairly frequently, which is just we'll just pack as many people we can into this house and collect individual rates to to put as much money in the landlord's pocket.
Well, that's getting to the heart of the matter, isn't it? I mean, if this was just kind of an outlier house, we might have you on for a couple of minutes, we'd have a bit of a laugh about it and move on. This type of thing is frequent in Dublin, isn't it?
It's not just rampant. Do you know, like when you walk through the city centre, you can see apartments that have been converted into basically, you know, dorms with sleeping with bunk beds in and people using them. You know, I've spoken to a lot of migrants like myself who come to Ireland. Again, I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm Australian. I'm very privileged. But again, I'm in all these expat groups. And that's where I found this house. Someone was advertising it. A lot of the people who come here and work in aged care, who work in hospitals, who are our support healthcare workers, unfortunately have to find themselves living in overcrowded conditions. And that's just played havoc during COVID-19.
You mentioned expats. I mean, is that who you're more likely to find living in this type of accommodation?
Yeah, I anecdotally see them advertised. I mean, when I first moved to Dublin, I'm still in these groups as well, just for work. I see a much more substandard accommodation advertised in the expat and immigrant groups than I would see on, say, Daft. And Daft has its own fair share. Like, don't worry, there's plenty of substandard stuff on Daft. But in terms of, like, basically dangerous accommodation in terms of overcrowding and things like having a shower next to a gas heater, next to a bed, you do see that more targeted to expat groups.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because we had a little look here. I had a little look myself after I saw your picture, and I did find a few places on Daft, but it does seem to be some of those private WhatsApp groups or private Facebook groups as well, where a lot of these now seem to be advertised as opposed to in the full glare of the public spotlight on Daft. And one that I found, much like the one that you posted, it was essentially a broom closet that somebody had converted into a bedroom. It was the size of somebody's utility room down the country, we might say. That was an entire flat. And if you're on the higher rate of tax, you'd want to be making 26 and a half grand a year just to cover your rent to live in this.
Exactly. And remember, a lot of students who are coming here come on a certain type of visa, which means they can only work a few hours a week. Otherwise, they get done breaching their visa requirements. So they have to find as cheap as accommodation as possible. Unfortunately, that means taking substandard and often dangerous accommodation. So these, you know, there's a subclass of landlord out there who know this and who exploit this.
Well, listen, don't go anywhere, Brianna, because Joe Doyle is a Dublin landlord who joins me now. Joe, would you agree with Brianna that there is a subclass of landlord out there? Not all landlords, but there is a subclass that are exploiting people.
I think in all areas of, in all walks of life, you'll find people who flout the rules and take advantage of certain situations. And unfortunately, we're in a situation now where there's a housing shortage and there's a lot of people are in, they're in dire need for property. There's a lot of people that's homeless. They're in dire need for property as well. Just by looking at the photo that was put up there, I'm looking at it, and I suppose at the risk of saying, at the risk of ruffling a few feathers. I'm looking at it here and I'm thinking, okay, what exactly is the issue here? Now, I don't have all the facts, so it would be worthwhile if I was a bit more well-informed because I haven't seen the ad. But, you know, how much are you charging for the rent? And is this something that is suitable to somebody who can afford a full house? Probably not. But there's always people out there that the alternative to them getting a room in a house is they're on the Halfpenny Bridge, or they're in a hostel that they don't want to go to because it's ravaged with drugs and whatever else. And just looking at that there, I would love to be more well informed on this specific topic. Brianna mentioned there that there's people that are only allowed to work a certain number of hours, so these guys probably can't afford to rent a full house to themselves, but they can rent a room, which, you know, is do we have an issue with people renting rooms, I'm wondering, or is it just the condition of the room, or is it a price? I'm trying to get a bit more information on this thing as well, you know.
It kind of sounds like you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, that, you know, maybe, you know, that there isn't much of a problem here.
Well, you see, I think that we don't have all the facts. This is like, I'm looking
at... Well, then let me ask you more generally. Is there a problem with substandard rental accommodation in Dublin?
I believe there would be, yeah.
Okay.
In instances, yeah.
Okay, well, like you said, you don't have all the facts related to the photo that you saw. Certainly, I would consider the photo, that what was in the photo, fairly substandard. But listen, like you said, you don't have all the facts. But there is a problem. Would you also agree that problem tends to rear its head more in the expatriate or the emigrant community?
Again, I don't know that for sure. But I do know that there's an element of society who would prefer a budget style accommodation. And looking at this one here, it's obviously a living room in a property that's been converted to a single bedroom. It's a single bed in it.
Hold on, Joe. Like, we've all, like, okay, let's just stop beating around the bush. We've all lived in dumps, you know, at different times, and it's grand. We do it because it's dirt cheap and we don't have any money and we're a student and we're starting out. We've all gone through it. The problem here is that people are expected to live in a dump and they're expected to have 26 grand of their gross salary to be able to live there. You know, you just said, like, you know, that, look, maybe someone wants to live here because, you know, they don't have a lot of money and they want to save money, whatever it happens to be. The point is, people are being charged an arm and a leg to live in a dump.
Well, you see, we don't have the figures on this. We don't know how much they're charging for the rent.
But on that photo that Brianna posted, there are plenty of other examples, Joe. We, the two of us, don't have to sit down beside each other at a computer to start going through Facebook groups and WhatsApp groups and even some ads and daft to find evidence of one bed sits essentially, with like a shower in a corner of a room, a microwave in another, and it being called a kitchen. I don't know how anyone can get away with describing it as a kitchen, and they're about a grand a month.
I'm looking here. We don't have the figures. I'm trying to say we need to have more facts before we start jumping to conclusions here, because there's people who are literally living on the street that would be delighted to be having that as their place to live.
But that is completely missing the point, Joe, that there are people on the street who would like to live there. The people on the street will not be able to live there. In fact, there's people who have jobs who will not be able to live there because the rent for these places is about a grand a month.
But we don't, like, this is the sensationalism by the media. We don't have, there's no, this post has gone viral and there's no reference to how much the rent is or anything like that at all. There's no context. Is it a split room in a house where there's three or four bedrooms, or is it something that's completely...
Sorry. Okay, Brianna, do you want to come back in there?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to cut across you, Jared. But I did look at the time, and I went back to get the exact figures, but it was deleted because of the outcry on the post. But I do remember at the time looking at it and knowing it was above €700 a month for that particular room. There was another room, and it was more expensive because it was slightly bigger. I don't have the figures on that. But if you're going to claim to me that someone who's in emergency accommodation or living homeless can afford that per month, that's ridiculous. That claim doesn't stack up. And to be honest, I saw an earlier video of you saying, throw the tenants in, pack them tight and collect the money. And you said it was a joke at the time, but it was a very distasteful one, giving away the state that people are living in Dublin at the minute.
Joe, your response?
How does Brianna know people that are in emergency accommodation can't afford to pay that €700 a month?
Because they would.
But how would. Do you know? Because I know the HAP rates for single people are €990 a month if they're in emergency accommodation and they're trying to get themselves relocated into mainstream accommodation.
Brianna,
because landlords don't always take HAP, Joe. There is a huge prejudice against people who are on HAP and landlords who will not take people who have HAP.
Okay, and do you know that for a fact, or is that your own opinion?
I do know that for a fact. I've interviewed 3 people about this. You can look it up on the Island Air website. We interviewed a young mother living in emergency accommodation. She was receiving HAP. She could not get a landlord. I think she applied to like 30 in a month. She could not get a landlord to take her because she said that once they saw HAP on her application, they wouldn't. In the end, we were able to connect her with a landlord through our own personal show. So I do know that there's a prejudice against landlords.
Did they disallow her purposely because she said she was a HAP applicant, or did they just not get back to her?
She said that they got back to her, and then when she clarified that she was on HAP, the train went dead.
We can go over and back here on what people might have said in previous interviews. Joe, are you suggesting that there is no prejudice out there against HAP tenants? That there's no landlords who are turning down HAP tenants?
In my experience, I've never encountered it.
It doesn't exist?
No.
Wow. Joe, incredible.
I'm a substantial landlord in my part of the city that we pretty much 90% of our tenants are HAP recipients. It's a good system that the rent is guaranteed by the state.
Okay.
Why would a landlord not want to accept that? We always hear the anecdotal evidence, and I find it very hard to believe that a landlord would get back to a tenant and say, I'm not taking you in because you're on HAP.
They don't say that. They'll come up with some other reason. They're not idiots, these landlords who are exploiting people. They'll come up with another reason for not taking somebody.
Brianna is saying that the reason they're not taking her is because of HAP. If you put an ad online today to advertise a property, with the state of the shortage, you will have hundreds of people applying for it. So you can't get back and ask every single person. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Are they going to get back to every single person, ask them, are they on HAP, and then not give them the property purely because they're on HAP? It just doesn't make sense. Only one person can get the property at the end of the day. We just hear these anecdotal evidence and stories.
You've just given anecdotal evidence.
Yeah, but we're yet to see, you know, somebody to come out and say, yeah, the landlord told me and he gave it to me in writing that he wasn't giving me the property because it was on HAP.
They're not going to do that.
Which nullifies your point.
I'm not sure it nullifies her point, Joe. I mean, like, when you say that all you hear is anecdote, sometimes once you gather enough anecdote, it becomes evidence. Like, that is the nature of it. And it's not just kind of some fringe media outlets. You know what I mean? Brianna mentioned RLAM covered it. News Talk have covered it. RTE's Primetime have covered it on several occasions. And for you to suggest that there's no prejudice against HAP and that charging £1,000 for somebody to live in a broom closet is grand because that's the free market, and sure, wouldn't somebody be happy to have it if they're down sleeping on Usher's Quay tonight?
I didn't say that in any way. I didn't say £1,000 to live in a broom closet. I said that somebody, in the example that Brianna has given here, somebody that is homeless and living on the streets, that is afraid to go into a hostel because of the carry-on that was in there, would love to be in there, would love to be in that property right now.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. But again, at the point, I suppose, that we're trying to make is not everybody's on the streets can afford these properties.
They can because the government is providing assistance for them.
And you're saying the government will provide that assistance in all situations and the landlords never turn their back on it. They're happy to take HAP in all situations.
Obviously, I can't speak for every single situation, but why would you want to refuse money as a landlord that's been paid to you by the state? It comes in on the last Wednesday of every month like clockwork. All a landlord wants is to put a tenant in place that's not going to cause hassle to any other tenants or any neighbours, and the rent gets paid.
Do HAP have conditions, Joe? I mean, you know what I mean? If I am, as you say, living on the street and I find some utility room that has, a microwave plugged in one corner and a toilet in the other and a futon in the middle, will HAP cover that, or is there certain standards or conditions that have to be met?
The HAP conditions and standards are some of the most stringent. The standards are the same right across the board, but the HAP have a...
Well, there's the problem, Joe, isn't it? There's the problem. HAP will not cover, then, the rent for some of these places because the standards are not met. They are utter dumps.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, right? And I've got here the housing standards for rented houses regulations 2017. I have it in my hand, and I just went through the image there, just to see what exactly is offside here in that particular one. Now, bear in mind, we've got limited facts here in the case, right? So what we are saying is that the shower is in the bedroom / living room, okay? So we're saying that. So that could be in breach, except if there's already another shower in the house. And we've had situations there where, in fact, I spoke to my colleague when he knew I was coming on here, and he said his neighbour has put a shower in the bedroom in their house because they got so many children and they only have one bathroom.
Yeah, so again, it's for their own family.
Yeah, see, we don't have all the facts here. That's what I'm saying to you. We don't know, like, what exactly is the problem here? Is it a carpet? Is it a shower in the bedroom? You know, what exactly is it?
Joe, can I put it kind of bluntly to you? The problem here is that dumps in this country are available only for rent for about $1,000, and Hap won't cover them because they're such dumps.
Are we talking about this one here? Are we talking generally?
We're talking about generally. We're talking about the photo Brianna put up, possibly. We're talking about other ones you can find today on Daft. We're talking about ones you can find in WhatsApp groups, ones you can find today on different Facebook groups that anybody can join once they get approval from Facebook administrators. We're talking about countless examples.
I've yet to see proof of that. That's being honest.
So says a man without the internet. It's the only explanation, Joe. I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude, but your head must be like, so deeply stuck in the sand not to be aware that these things exist.
No, I am well aware that there's people out there that I wouldn't even class as landlords that take advantage. I'm well aware that these things do exist. They exist in every walk of life. Okay. So what I'm looking at now is to do a bit of fact checking on this particular topic that we're discussing today. And what I've done is I've gone through the regulations to see where it's gone amiss. And I'm looking, if you look at the door next to the shower enclosure, It seems to be a frosted window, which is possibly into another bathroom, because there's a reason why it's a frosted window. And I'm thinking, why have they got a frosted window in there? It's into another bathroom. So maybe this shower that was put in is the secondary.
Right.
Now, I'm not defending the antics other than we need to stick to the facts that we know.
All right. Brianna, final word.
Yeah, look, what can I say? Like, I know Mr. Doyle said it was a joke, but he's gone on social media and talked about packing two families into a house for maximum profit, throwing tenants in, pack them tight and collect the money. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't think that's a good representative for Dublin landlords.
Joe, do you want to respond just very quickly to that specific point?
Yeah. I've been on various media outlets talking about that before. And that was a joke. And some people thought it was quite funny and some people didn't think it was funny. And look, that's fine. But I think Brianna knows that this is a bit of sensationalism by herself here, and she's not sticking to the facts of this matter. She's bringing other things up.
I'm sorry, what facts would that be? Because I'm a journalist with an international reputation who hasn't been caught on camera talking about how I want to pack people into basic slums to maximise profit. So I'm comfortable with my facts. It's not sensationalism. I found it on a group being advertised to expats who might not know their rights. That's the fact.
Okay, but we don't have all the facts to determine it was...
All right. Well, listen,
we're
going around in circles. I get the sense that we could talk about. I tell you, Joe, the listeners are fairly furious. We haven't lost them; they're furious. That's what they are. But listen, we could talk all day, and I think we'd still be talking in circles. Brianna Parkins, the Ireland AM reporter, and Joe Doyle, the Dublin landlord. I am fuming, says June, listening to Joe. I came very close to becoming homeless and was turned down multiple times, each time because I was on HAP. I know this discrimination is widespread and the standards of accommodation are abysmal. Listening to this bedsit story, is there not a law about minimum size for bedsit rooms? And if not, there should be, to stop this type of carry on. The taxpayers probably paying these landlords for someone to live in that bedsit, or a prison cell as it should be called.